I am glad to be here this morning. I apologize for technical difficulties. God is good. He brings us to this place we need to be, doesn't he? I want to read a couple scriptures, and Brother Matt had shared Wednesday, and it was a blessing. And it stuck with me in that I cued off something that when he was sharing, the Spirit of the Lord really struck me. And I began to get in the notes. So I'm going to talk about resting in the Lord, the true rest that we need. I'm going to even get into the Sabbath rest, and you'll understand how it's tied together, and it's very critical. I want to read in Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 4. And we're just going to read these together. Read with me. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. There are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them." I want you to read Exodus 31, verses 13. This is where Matt was Wednesday night. And Exodus chapter 31, verses 13 through 14. We're going to read these. "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbath. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people." You know, it's interesting. As we read through these, and God talks to Aaron that these are the signs throughout your generations. He doesn't say these are the signs which shall end shortly, as when Jesus came. And there's something you need to understand. Number one, the Old Testament is relative. Absolutely. There are deep truths in it. In fact, you need both. We often, I call it, I don't know if the word conflate is proper, but we lump into one setting. Somebody goes, "We're not under the law, but we're in the new covenant." And they look at the old covenant, which is the law, first five books, the Pentateuch. And they dismiss half of the Bible. And it is as important to you to understand that it is relative. But the thing is, there are some things that go through the cross. There are some things that Jesus fulfilled that ended at the cross. But when we get into these principles about resting in the Lord, Sabbath rest and understanding, I want to expand your, I really want your spirit to be expanded today. I don't want you to see this simply as something fulfilled, something that is not pertinent anymore. The problem with all of us, and I really believe this, is we need to rest in the Lord. That Sabbath principle is really a supernatural gift that we don't understand. And what's really important to you to understand that, you know, God tells Aaron, this is throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies. When it comes to the rest, when it comes to resting in the Lord, and we'll get into the difference between leisure and resting in Christ and between, you know, being a couch potato and actually resting in the Lord, there's a huge difference. I want to read 31, Exodus again, 16 through 17. But there is something so critical in understanding resting in the Lord. And if you don't do it, your being will get exhausted. One of the reasons Christians go through and they don't rest in the Lord, they leisure. I leisure. I'm good at leisure. I can couch potato. I could, if there was an Olympics for it, I could have went and competed probably on a gold level. But understanding what it is to rest in the Lord is very different than being idle. Exodus 31, verses 16. "So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant." Now, if you notice, the Lord talks about that they, you may know that I am the Lord who sets you apart. Because when we get into resting in the Lord, we're getting into a relational term. We're not talking some strict legislative. We're not even talking just a principle. This is a time where we come together with the Lord. This is a time where we connect. This is a time where we get refreshed. And again, one of the problems that Christians have is they believe leisure is resting in the Lord. It's not the same thing. And many times believers get wore out. But it's not really just their bodies that are tired. It's their spirit man that is exhausted. And if you aren't resting in the Lord, if you aren't figuring out even the Sabbath principle, that it is not some just simple principle, but God wants to commune with you, that your spirit has to get rest, you just get wore out. In fact, it's interesting, the word the Lord gave me, he spoke to me personally and said, you need to rest more in the Lord. And he said, my people mistake leisure for rest, and most of them, when they come out of their day of rest, they're more spiritually exhausted than when they entered into it, because they don't rest in me. And we need to learn about this. But this perpetual sign, it is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. Again, these words are difficult to run around when you start saying, well, yeah, forever meant until Jesus came. And what you got here is a principle and a supernatural gift that runs for all times. In fact, ultimately, when you pass, it says you're going to enter into your rest. So the Sabbath rest becomes all the time for the rest of eternity. And a lot of people, they read this, they don't read it because we miss these key words and we go, huh, forever. A sign between me and you that you know what I mean. This is the thing. So me and you, that throughout your generation, you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So there is this thing where God calls us to rest in him. God calls us to be with him. God calls us to cease from our labors mentally. Physically, you know what? When you don't really understand resting in the Lord, you can cease doing things. Your mind is racing 1,000 miles an hour. You're thinking. You're working in your mind. And you're not connecting with the Lord. And again, you're going to come out exhausted. You're going to go, that's weird. I got rest and I feel worse than I did the day before. I was idle and I thought that would refresh me. If you're a believer, you need the Sabbath rest. You need God's rest. And if you're a believer, the only thing that'll do it is resting in the Lord. The only thing that'll do it is understanding even the principles of Sabbath, not a return to the law. It's interesting, if you bring this up, people often go, I'm not legalistic. And that's not at all what is described here. There is deep misunderstanding oftentimes of Old Testament scriptures to our own hurt. It's to our own hurt because we don't understand what we're reading and we misinterpret it and we apply it to our life. Or in this case, we don't apply it because we believe it's some old antiquated thing that God kind of did away with. And yet God is telling Aaron, this is my thing with you. And he calls it a covenant. Let me explain about saying this is a covenant. In fact, he kind of says this is a covenant within the covenant. Because covenant is relational. It's all about walking with the Lord in covenant. And it's all about walking with the Lord in covenant in your intimacy, in covenant in resting in him, in covenant connecting with him. I fear that we as a nation of Christians, and I mean that in a way that there's not a large majority of Christians in the U.S. The numbers are high, but the realities are a lot lower. I believe that we've missed this to our own hurt greatly. So none of us, many are not refreshed. Many are exhausted. I want you to start thinking about this. If you're exhausted, it may not mean that you need your problems to go away. It may not mean that you're exhausted because of your situation. It may mean you're exhausted because you don't know the Shabbat rest in Jesus and you're not taking it seriously and you're not connecting. It's interesting how we often respond to a sense of exhaustion in a physical way. We don't even think about this, as I ask this both to here in this room and sanctuary and online. Think about this. How many times when you were exhausted did you actually say, I need to be refreshed in the Lord? I'm talking your spirit exhausted. And people go, I'm retired. Well, that doesn't mean anything. You're still doing things. It doesn't matter how young or old. How many times have you said, I need to be refreshed in the Lord. I need a Sabbath rest. I need to sit with God. Now, the Lord did it one day a week. So even the Lord was saying one day a week. Now, I am not into re-legislating some sense where you make a certain day. Paul said, you know, some men regard one day above another. But let every man, let him regard, who thinks it's important, then it's important. And a lot of people think that puts away the principle of the Sabbath rest, but they're wrong. Because the Sabbath rest is a principle, it is a divine gift, it is a supernatural thing. I don't care if it's Monday or Sunday or any day in between. But the principle of resting and being refreshed in Christ is critical to your survival. I've lived years, many times, as a believer, as a minister, exhausted in my spirit, but not learning how to rest in the Lord. So it didn't matter what I did. I could go on a vacation, and I might sleep in, and I might, you know, get a little more R&R, but my spirit was tired. Exhaustion isn't totally a sign that you're doing too much, but it could be a sign that you're doing too much in the wrong way. And this is what we need to start looking, because you're a spiritual man. I'm a spiritual man. I'm not just a physical man. I'm not just a mortal man. I'm a spiritual man. If you've been born again, you're a spiritual man. You've got a whole other being. I got another new Mike, a new creation Mike. His needs are unique and extremely different than the needs of Mike's physical body. And yet, his needs that are spiritual do affect his physical body. Oh, no, I'm talking about myself in the third person. That's bad. But you understand what I'm saying. I guarantee you, even as you hear this, most people don't even give it a thought. Or they quickly blow it off as some legalistic thing, and it's not at all. There are principles that are eternal. There are things that God gave us. Think about it. But one day to refresh in God is a whole different ballgame. And I pray when we're done, I want you to see it. It's a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. You know why? Because Israel is forever with Christ, I mean with the Lord. And in Israel, again, they will have a major revival. It is a sign. You being a believer, it is a sign forever that you might know him. I want you to think of it when you hear Sabbath. I want you to start putting the word intimate. Sabbath, intimate. Sabbath, being refreshed. Sabbath, rest for my soul that's actually affecting my brain, my tension, and my body. And I keep throwing, you know, paper wads at a giant. And I keep drinking a bottle of air because that's going to help me. When it comes to your needs spiritually and supernaturally, let me explain something to you. There is no shortcut by which you can obtain the divine gifts of God. There is only what God has called you into, what God has called you as even to covenant with him. Think about what he says to Aaron. Forever is a strong word. But the Sabbath isn't simply a principle, it's a gift. The Sabbath isn't simply a moral principle, it's a supernatural gateway to connect with your Father. You know, it's interesting. Analysis won't bring us to divine power. It never will. In fact, the church, we really are good in this country at talking about God. Experiencing God is a whole different thing. It's interesting. We've turned the saying, I believe in the word, to mean I don't believe in the supernatural whatsoever. And not only is it wrong, it's sinful. It's outright sinful. I believe that Satan is one of the busiest theologians in existence. I believe that Satan writes and produces more Christian theology than theologians do. I'm convinced of that. Because he understands how a man thinks is how a man lives. That's the reality. There is no ways around it. I want to read another verse 17. Let's read it. I believe it's 17 in Exodus, if I'm wrong. 31. Talks about the Sabbath. It says, it is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Get ready for this. But on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. Wait a minute. God rested on the seventh day and he was refreshed. I didn't know God got tired. I didn't know. This doesn't make any sense. Wait a minute. My theology bubble's blowing up. God's never tired. Because it says, he who keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. But it doesn't mean that he didn't get refreshed when he took a break after creating the world. All the planets, all the galaxies, sextillion stars. And it's an amazing thing. Yeah. God's not tired, but rather being renewed. Now, here's the interesting thing when we talk about God being refreshed, and this is really critical. I want you to follow me on this. Again, misperceptions of who God is will cause you to read the scripture wrong, will cause you to live wrong, and will cause you to miss important truths. Remember this. Your knowledge of God, I'm not talking just simply analysis and studying the word. Your interaction with God is critical to you learning more and more about God's being. And yes, the word does give us all the description, but there's an intimacy part. If you take it out of the works and turn it into strict analysis, strict intellectualism, it dies. This word refreshed used of God, I want you to understand something, and it's speaking, is only used 3 times in Scripture. Now, I want to explain the word to you in its root meaning. And there's a reason, because it reveals a supernatural truth. When it says that, like he rested, okay, ceased from labor and was refreshed, it only means 2 things. Refreshed means to breathe or to be breathed upon. I don't know if you understand this. When God says he wants to refresh you because you're going to follow the principle, he's talking about you breathing in his presence. But he's also talking about you being breathed upon. We look at refreshing in some very shallow way. I got to get a nap. I'm tired. My mind's tired. You know, I suffered from spiritual exhaustion for many years. And sometimes I can still tend to be a workaholic. And I can still tend to spiritual exhaustion. And not being refreshed. Not breathing or being breathed upon. I want you to understand something. One of the things when you learn how to start refreshing in the Lord, you're coming into the presence of the Lord. And number one, you are breathing in the air that comes from the room where God is. Think. You are breathing in the air in the presence of the Lord with him as your focus. Do you know when you breathe that air in, it is different than simple air. And then when you sit in the presence of the Lord and when you let that Sabbath rest and resting in the Lord, the Spirit of God is breathing on you. This takes the whole issue of what it is to rest in the Lord and turns it into a supernatural experience, a supernatural interchange. The Sabbath also, because when it's laid out, this whole issue, to where the very nature of our Father himself rested on the 7th day and was refreshed. Because refreshed is also regenerative. Refreshed is different. I breathe all the time. All of you do. In fact, I know what it's like. I had pneumonia once. I know what it's like to almost not be able to breathe. Suffocating. But to breathe the air in the rest of God is a supernatural experience. And when you start to understand, unless you're doing it, your spirit is so exhausted. You got really a body of zombies in America. We do all kinds of church activities. But we don't breathe. And we don't get breathed upon. In fact, what's interesting is we make church activities, and many times there is a benefit. And I talked about this early on, where you are getting something, where there's an interchange. I ran to church not as a preacher, but as a believer. I ran to church because I knew I'd be refreshed. I knew when I was scared, I would get courage. I knew if I worshiped, God could adjust emotional things in me. And I wanted to be in his presence. But I want you to take this to another level, because yes, I'm glad you're here with me today. I believe this is a called thing of God, but there's the breathing in his presence and resting in him that comes in your own time. The enemy doesn't want you to understand that actually as you rest and you understand that Sabbath principle forever and the supernatural nature of it, he knows you'll be behaving like the very person of God. He knows you'll be following a pattern that the creator of the universe followed and therefore was refreshed. I love this because it blows our theological boxes out of the water. But the problem with it, even if someone says, I just don't agree with that. I was teaching actual Bible one time and somebody goes, I just don't agree with you. I said, what is it? Do you think when you say I don't agree, it validates your opinion? Now, that wasn't saying it's not, you can have dissent, you can have critical arguments, but I was talking a plain biblical truth, and people play games with that. Well, you know, I don't know about that. Well, yeah, it's really in the scripture, it's in the language, and quite frankly, if you don't know about it, you need to buy a vowel, get a clue. Think about this, though, even in the root word, to be refreshed, to breathe, or to be breathed upon. That's a supernatural thing. You may be exhausted, but it isn't your enemy exhausting you. It isn't your job necessarily exhausting you. It isn't the call of God exhausting you. Many times exhaustion is a sign of spiritual lethargy, no resting in the Lord, and no real refreshing. And yet we will run around going, I'm so tired and I wish I didn't. There are people so busy in their mind, you could give them $1 million a day to just sit and they would always be exhausted. I'm talking believers because they don't understand Sabbath rest. They don't understand the first thing about resting in the presence of the Lord. They would be tired anyway. You know, it's interesting. Our brain, and the enemy does this too, to where he wants you to be like this and to walk around and not be refreshed in your brain, your thinking. Because he knows that even if you cease moving, you'll still be exhausted. See, the enemy wants to wear the saints down. Now, we talk about the end and the Antichrist, and he'll try to wear the saints. It says it. He'll try to wear the saints down. What we fail to understand is in our minds, and our minds not being renewed and no Sabbath, the saints get wore down even in the way they think. They don't have to do an hour of work, and they're already exhausted. I've did it, and many believers do it. Many men of God do it. We don't refresh in the Lord. We don't get breathed on, and we don't breathe. And it really hurts us. I will say this. Resting, as I've already said it, is not leisure. We really mistake leisure with rest. Now, leisure's good. I like leisure. I do. I don't even mind being a potato on the couch. But the element of the Sabbath rest being in that is not only necessary, your life is depending on it. I'm talking your life having divine life, Zoe life, rivers of life coming out of you. It's interconnected. You need to be refreshed in the Lord. But I can tell you too, like I said, we mistake leisure with resting in the Lord. They're two different things. I have no problem with having leisure. But I have a problem if your life is only understood that you think leisure brings rest and your spirit is exhausted and you need to be refreshed in the Lord. Many Christians are at the end of their rope because their spirits are, they're not renewed, they're not refreshed, they're running like chickens with their head off, they're tired in their spirit. And it's almost like they're going, you know, I know something's wrong. I don't feel good. Something's wrong. And yeah, it is. Because if you don't drink water for a year, you'll actually die many months before the year's up. If you don't get refreshed and breathed upon. And I want you to think about something too. When you talk about being breathed upon, you're talking about the Spirit of God breathing upon you. That's water to your soul. Resting in the Lord is communing with the Father, being with the Father. Resting in the Lord is connecting intimately. Now, here's what the enemy is doing. And I believe this is a strategy. He's employed it as long as there's been churches, synagogues, and, you know, whatever the temple was where God's people met with God. I actually believe Satan has done this. Satan's strategy, and I wrote it in my notes, didn't really need to, but he loves for the sons and daughters of God to view being with the Lord as laborious, as boring. He loves to distort, radically distort, the fact that in this place we are, living as believers, he wants you to view even going out to church is a laborsome thing. I don't got the energy. I don't got this. You know, it's interesting. He works from a deception, and this is a complete radical deception. If you're listening to me today and you view that as laborious, you're missing the whole point. In fact, you're missing supernaturally what you need, and you're also missing what will happen to you. If I view the presence of God as laborious, if I view church going as laborious, like I got to go and get through it, there's a blinder over my eyes. I'm not saying you're not a believer, but what I'm saying is there is a blinder over your eyes and a blinder over your heart. And that's a religious practice. That's a religious spirit. One who views the very articles of God as laborious, and they prefer to sit on a couch versus be with the presence, that's a total distortion. And it shows a religious spirit. In fact, some of what God's doing in the body now is he's ridding us and he's going to deliver us of a religious spirit and religious perspectives, because religion kills. It really does. Godly religion is real. But a spirit of religion is a horrible thing because it has a view of things that's ridiculous. Now, I would say that when I was raised Catholic, so I was one of those people that the, and one good thing about if you're Catholic and patient, and I'm not trying to knock anybody, but service is like 26 minutes, maybe the whole thing. And it quits on time. You can always count on it. You can always count on God never doing anything unusual that would exceed the time. It felt like 40 hours to me. Church was laborious. I argued. I did a lot of things to get out of going to Mass. That's where I was at. But when I got saved, what was interesting, even in my young mind, was I love being in the presence of the Lord. I love being with the saints. And it did change immediately. I didn't progress through time because my eyes had been opened. But this works against you, because if you find the things of God laborious, laborsome, already your mind is darkened in this area, so you won't ever start heading to get refreshed and rest in the Lord because you're religious. You're not going to be in touch with your very being, meaning God knows you better than you know you. He wants you to know yourself better. There's no doubt about it. He wants to understand how you work. But this is a strategy the enemy's been using for years. There are many people that profess Christ, that they've picked up their cross, that find God laborious. They find being with God laborsome. They find worship laborsome. They find sitting in the presence of the Lord. They're all over the place in their mind, laborsome. This is a strategy of the enemy. It's an absolute strategy. You know, I'm reminded of something, being coming from a pagan background, or, you know, not knowing the Lord, but going to religious services, and I hated it, and it seemed like 25 minutes was 40 hours. But years ago, me and one of my lifelong friends, we went and we picked mushrooms. Now, a lot of people go, well, that's weird, but it's something I saw even when I was my grandfather. And we found these mushrooms, and he was a chef. And he cooked up this pot of cream of mushroom. And I mean big chunks of the, we found stumpers, they call them. And we ate them. And it tasted awesome. I mean, that soup was the best thing I'd ever, soup, mushroom, cream of mushroom, until the poison kicked in. Then I began to vomit. And I mean every couple of minutes. And it was horrid. And we called the poison center. And they asked to describe the mushrooms. And, you know, so I had poisoning. I woke up with my arms on the toilet, actually. I'm not kidding. I was hugging the toilet. But the first thing when I got up, it was Sunday morning. I'd been throwing up all night. But when I got up, I played in the worship team. And when I got up, man, I wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. I had a green color, people say. I was actually, somebody said, I don't know how you did it, but there's a green hue to your skin. Poison Center called in the morning and said, is he still alive? I wanted to get into the presence of the Lord. The first thing I did when I got up from the bathroom floor, I was on the bathroom floor. I woke up, I looked at the clock, and I thought, I could still get to church. So I go to my congregation, and, you know, people said, are you all right? You look green, you know? And, yeah, I was poisoned, although even the poison center said it ran through your system, you know what I'm saying? Long story short, we had worship service that morning, and we were singing, Oh, Give Thanks to the Lord. And I had an experience I'll never forget. People say, mushrooms, hearing voices. No, they weren't hallucinogenic mushrooms. In fact, the poison center said there's a bug that frequents the mushroom that it in itself isn't poison. But when the bug gets on it, it leaves a toxicity. That's probably how you got poison. And we were singing, Oh, Give Thanks to the Lord, Call Upon His Name. And I literally heard the host of heaven and the heavens open up. I heard choirs beyond numbers. And I had one of the most powerful experiences that morning. And it refreshed my spirit. And being poisoned and waking up with your arms hugging the toilet is a bad experience. You can do that when you drink a lot of alcohol too, but this was unbelievably violent. And I think about that. I mean, how many times would people say, well, I got poisoned. I was up throwing up all night. They understand. Well, of course, in fact, my pastor would have probably said, I don't know, should you come? And that's all fine. But I knew if I could get in the presence of the Lord, something would happen. Now you say, "What? Wasn't he with you?" Yes, he was. But the corporate body and the corporate worship, there's a supernatural exchange I didn't want to miss that morning. I told my worship leader, I said, that was amazing. Oh, good, thanks. I mean, it sounded like a mass. He said, barely anybody was singing. I said, no. It was, when you sing, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon him, hallelujah. I mean, I was beyond numbers what I heard. And I'm playing the bass and, you know, in the band and singing along. And it was one of the most crazy experiences I'd ever had. And yet it happened in a morning to where really there wouldn't, I'm going to say this. If you get poisoned, you wake up with your arms around the toilet and you think you need to stay home, that's fine. This is not about saying go poison to church, but the reality of the hunger, because I knew there was a divine exchange. God wasn't laborious to me. God was life-giving. Service wasn't laborious. I didn't have to get through it. It ended up getting through me, and it changed my life, and it always has. I love when God tells Aaron to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Holy, in the word in Greek, hagias, I mean, it means two things. Holy means, can mean pure, but it can also mean totally different, foreign. So to be holy can be purity. We often think in that terms, in that a lot of that means that. But even as the Hebrew word and the Greek word, when the writers of Scripture were doing it, they were saying holy, they were saying different. So when you read this, I want you to kind of, you know, I want you to, you know what I'm saying? I want you to kind of more better understand it is holy to you. It is holy to you. It is a different thing than every other normal thing. So that principle of getting rest and refreshment in the Lord is powerful. And I love it also that the Lord says, you know, that it's a sign between me and you, that you might know that I, the Lord, I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who sets you apart. In closing this morning, it's very simple. We need to more greatly understand what it is to rest in the Lord and to be refreshed in the Lord. And it is a principle, but it is also a divine exchange. So it's, you know, the aspect of coming into his presence, resting in him, sitting with him. In fact, I want to say this. There are times God wants to draw you into the closet to refresh your spirit. There are times God wants you to have that Shabbat, the Sabbath rest, for a couple hours with him. And then a couple hours another day. And it wants to be integrated into your life. It is sad that we are so busy that even when we sit still, our minds race. Even when we sit still and do nothing, our minds are unfruitful many times. Or worse yet, we tune out everything and watch the boob tube. And again, I like TV. But to understand the world we live in, to understand the nature of who we are and how you and I and all of us were made is really important, because to start understanding that without being refreshed, bad things will happen. My spirit will get exhausted and I will... You ever hear somebody go, I'm too tired to drive because if I do, I might fall asleep and crash. It's very similar when you don't get refreshed in the Lord. Our spirit gets exhausted. And we start making mistakes. It's interesting that the enemy in many ways has found ways to keep the believers nonstop. Our brains nonstop. Stimuli nonstop. Input nonstop. And then we, even in our down times, we're thinking. We can't even rest. And can you imagine as we close what it is to understand Sabbath rest? Can you imagine what it is to come into his presence and to turn off? Because a lot of times we're troubled and we go to pray to the Lord and we don't shut our brain down. We're praying and troubled and rolling around and we're calling out to God to solve something. And the problem, there's nothing wrong with coming to God and crying out in your distress. But the way this stuff works is you end up never resting. Sometimes people talk so much at God, God couldn't get a word edgewise if he tried. I remember years ago preaching, talking about you can drive by through an apple orchard at high speed. You'll never pick an apple at high speed. But if you stop the car, put it in park, and get out, walk in the grove, you can experience amazing things. So let's all rise today and pray. God wants to refresh you. And maybe you're watching and said, I've been exhausted for years. I don't rest. I don't even believe in it. Somebody told me that was the law and that rest principle. It's not mandated. But again, you've got a spiritual truth here that is to be understood, is even to be lived out. You know, on my sermon notebook, I've got Psalm 119, says 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. There's no debate. Father, as we close today, even now this minute, as we close, I am asking that you would help us to be refreshed in you. Help us to rest in you. Help us to rest in you. We need to learn. Lord, I come clean even in front of my congregation. I have not rested in you the way I should. And the enemy has so many times kept me busy 24/7. And that's not about I'm always the activity. It's a state of living when we're restless. It's a state of living when our brain never turns off. And when we care to roll problems around more than the presence of God, we will never, Lord, I can come to you and pray in a way to where my brain doesn't turn off. And I'm in doubt, I'm in fear, I'm exhausted. I'm just asking you to do something. And you're calling me to the closet. Lord, even the prayer closet, in many ways, Jesus, you in the New Testament, you gave us instructions on how to pray. And you said to go into your secret room, your inner room. In many ways, that connects with the Sabbath principle. We're going to have to figure this out, because if we don't, many believers are, they're confused as to why their spirit is weak and exhausted. They think the problems they face wore them out, but many times the problem is they're not getting Shabbat rest in you. They are not getting that time. They are not really covenanting, getting into a covenant. I love that it says covenant. We covenant to rest in you. We covenant today to refresh, that you would refresh. We covenant today to simply come into your presence and breathe and be breathed upon. This is critical. Lord, help us to know what we need to do and when we need to do it. Help us, Father. Release bondage and release flawed thinking that keeps us wrapped up. We love you today, Jesus, and teach us to rest in you better and better and better. I need it. I think everybody needs it in this era. I need it for sure. And I think my family at New Life need it. I think anybody viewing us needs it. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you.